Hey, everybody. Welcome to a Hump Day Wednesday from the studios at Grand Forks Best Source. It's time now for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. In fact, realty expert Caitlin Soley is standing by. We'll talk with her right after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine. Or skiing. Warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
Hey, everybody, welcome realty expert Caitlin Soley to the studio. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Wednesday. How have you been? Been a few weeks.
It has, yeah. We just got back last Monday from Whitefish, Montana. We went skiing.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was good. It's one of those vacations, though, where like you want to get away and you want to relax, but skiing and snowboarding is the most unrelaxing vacation ever.
Yeah, so. And are you just completely wiped out at the end of the day where you can't even go out and have fun?
Yeah, absolutely. We always get a 3 out of 4 day lift ticket pass. Mm-hmm. And after that first day, we were so sore and we ended up going 3 days in a row. So by third day, I barely could walk.
Yeah. I bet. Well, at least it was fun. You came back. Yeah. You didn't break any legs or anything like that.
No. And then we came back and the next day, I think Tuesday was like a blizzard.
Yeah.
And everything was closed down.
That was last Tuesday. That was my birthday.
Oh, was
just
it?
A sucky birthday day.
Well, yep. Happy late birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I want to talk a little bit to you about starter homes. Things have changed. We were talking a little bit before we went on air here. I remember our first starter home, our first home we bought in Grand Forks back in the day. We paid under $70,000 for it. I don't think that happens anymore. And do they still... is it a starter home, your first home, either or both? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Because I think, you know, we always grow up and we always hear on podcasts and news and radio, everything like that, that a lot of first-time home buyers, their first home is typically a starter home.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean like a super big fixer-upper. I know that's what I did when I bought my first home. But these are just homes that you're not going to live in it forever.
Sure.
And you have that mindset that on average, it used to be, I think, 3 to 5 years that mm-hmm. you would stay in a home. Now it's up to like 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
So going into this for first-time home buyers, they have it in their mindset that they're gonna buy a house that might not have all of their must-need items, but it's a home that they can start out in, get that equity, and then in the future sell it and move into their forever home.
You know, that's what happened with us. We bought the house, like I said, for under $70,000. I was commuting back and forth from my hometown, working on the house. We started in the basement. I was going to remodel the entire house inside and out. We started in the basement, and then the flood hit. We were not allowed in our house for a couple of months. We had water up to the main floor, and so I had to start all over again. But it took 7 years of me, because I was working 2 full-time jobs at the time, 7 years to get that house completely redone, and I just fell in love with it. And then my wife found our home we're in now.
Okay.
And so we ended up moving.
How long have you been in your current home now?
We're like 17 years now.
Okay, so this is probably like your forever home now. Do you think?
Well, no. We'll downsize next.
Next. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's the house that you've been in the longest.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's kind of the hardest thing right now when I start to meet first-time home buyers is they have it in their mind that they want their forever home right away.
Yeah.
With the current market conditions, home prices are so much higher than what they used to be, even like 3-4 years ago. And it's hard because we have to bring them down to reality and say like, hey, this is what you're comfortable affording. This is the home that you're mm-hmm. going to get. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they don't want that fixer-upper home. And in that price range right now on the market, that's kind of what you're getting.
Sure.
And that's really hard to change the mind of people, especially nowadays with social media and TikTok. And you see all these influencers going through their first home, and it's like a beautiful luxury home. And it's like in reality, that's not what everybody can afford.
And you know, a lot of things change over time too. You might buy your forever home, or your, which could be a starter home, and you're thinking to yourself, well, it's just my hubby and me. We're never going to have kids. We're not going to have pets. That could all change.
It can all change.
You might change your mind and say, okay, well, you know what? We weren't going to have any kids, but we're going to have four.
Yeah,
and I don't like dogs, but now I got two. Things change. Your likes and tastes change. Life changes.
Life changes all the time. And that's why we kind of, when I talk with my buyers, you know, we sit down and we say, what is your 3 to 5 year life going to look like? Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to get married? Are you going to have kids? Do you have pets right now? How many bedrooms do you need? If you have kids, what school district do you want to be in? That kind of stuff. And that helps us make that path to say, you know, this is what we're looking for
sure.
Now. Things might change, but we can be flexible.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. I also would like to point out, because this is way, way different than a couple years ago, is in the market right now, a lot of my first-time home buyers are coming to me from living with their parents,
mm-hmm.
not so much renting anymore. And that's interesting to me because it was always a thing that after you graduate high school, you move out, maybe you get an apartment, you go off to college, what have it. But right now, a lot of local first-time home buyers are coming from living with their parents these years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're able to afford these starter homes
their
first home because they've saved up money.
Yep.
And that's so different compared to when I was going
through
that.
Right. Well, with me, I went to a tech school in my hometown, so I didn't have to go anywhere, and I was done in a year. But as soon as I turned 18, I mean, I was still in high school. My mom basically started charging me rent.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much. But I got my three squares. I got my laundry done and folded. I didn't have that. I just had to give her some money. But it only makes sense because maybe you can't afford it. You're in a college kid. You're getting ready to buy that first home. And you know what? If you are renting or doing something like that, odds are you're probably borrowing money from mom, pa anyway.
Exactly.
You know, stay in the basement. You know, save up and then go.
Yep. And it only makes sense right now, too. You know, when I first started hearing it, I was like, why didn't my parents do that for me? Like, why didn't my parents pay for my college and let me live with them forever? But in this world right now, everything just keeps getting more and more expensive.
Oh, sure it does.
Even rent prices right now are through the roof.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say I'm jealous, but I'm really proud of these younger first-time home buyers who made that decision to stay with their parents or maybe rent with a big group of people to get that rent price
mm-hmm.
lower.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, they're saving all that money, and that's how they're getting into homes right now. And we're also seeing on the flip side of things, if these younger home buyers aren't able to afford a home, parents are buying the home for the kids and letting them live in it. I know, right?
Wouldn't that be something?
Because parents have equity in things, and they've, you know, their experience, they have financial stability, that kind of stuff. But we do see parents right now are buying these first starter homes for their kids to grow into, fix up, get more equity, and then in the future sell it.
Sure. So, I mean, well, it's an investment for them, so, you know, why not?
It makes sense. Exactly.
Sure, sure.
Especially if they're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not lucky enough,
but
I like to point that out because I think that a lot of people can see these things and start getting discouraged and say, like, well, I'm never going to be able to afford a house. I don't have money saved up. Rent, life, everything is so expensive right now. But I like to point that out so that any buyers out there who have been grinding and working and saving, just know that you'll get there.
Yeah.
Everyone is going through this right now. The economy, inflation, everything is really expensive. And just, you know, if you are thinking about buying and you think there's absolutely no way, just know that what you're paying on rent is most likely going to be a house mortgage payment, if not even lower when you get into a house. So there is hope. Always just start talking to the lender and get pre-approved.
Now, when you meet a new couple or the single, whatever, looking for their starting home or their starter home, do you ask them, are you willing to put a little elbow grease into it and do a little fixing up in, or, you know, because there's a big difference if you want something like that or if you want a house that's basically turnkey for you ready to move in.
Yes, we do have that conversation, and it really is half and half. Some people, they're okay with maybe painting, doing those little minor upgrades, and some people are like, hey, I want to invest in a really big fixer-upper. I want to gut the house, fix it up, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's two opposite ends of work. Mm-hmm. I know when we bought our first house, the whole house basically got gutted,
mm-hmm.
And this is now 3 years ago. And it seemed like rainbows and butterflies. We're like, we're going to upgrade this and get so much equity in this house. And now 3 years later, I'm like, we went through a lot of storm clouds and we're still fixing up the house. It's not perfect yet. And I like to tell first-time home buyers my story because in your head, you know, you can say, yeah, I'm going to fix this up. Everything's going to be great. But in reality, there's so many hoops you have to go through. Yeah. You have to have money in your bank saved up and stuff like that.
And you know, it was the same with me. People might gasp when I say, well, it took me 7 years to fix up my house the way I wanted to. And it was a fairly small house. But you got to remember, you're not working on your house full time.
Right.
You might have kids. You have a life. You have a job. You might be going to school. You might not want to come home after a hard day of working to work anymore.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way. I can remember arguing with some of the old school Catholics about stores opening up at noon on Sunday or just being closed altogether. And I'm like, dude, I work 60 hours a week. The only chance I have to do anything on the side is on the weekend. So, yeah, I want Menards open on Sunday all day just because you don't have, you know what I mean?
Yep,
there's
exactly.
A lot of things. So don't get discouraged. Right. I mean, if you don't have your, you know, your butterflies and unicorns in the first year.
Exactly. Another thing that I'd like to just touch base on is for any home buyers that are out there currently waiting and shopping, and their inventory right now is still so low that there's a lot of buyers sitting on the sidelines waiting for homes to come on the market. And one thing that we're seeing a lot more of too is buyers are more open to just go into new construction homes or buying land to build on because there's just nothing in their criteria on the market right now. And there is pros to new construction homes. This is not going to be a starter home by any means. This is probably going to be like your second or even third home. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, it might be cheaper right now versus waiting for home prices to maybe go down, which probably is not going to happen. Same with interest rates. But pros to new construction homes is everything is brand new. And, you know, your roof is new, your appliances is new. And for a home buyer who can get into a home like that, that's huge because any home that's lived in and older, you are probably going to have to fork over money for a new roof, a new furnace, AC, things like that. New construction homes have less maintenance in the long run because everything is brand new. And a lot of times when you go with the new construction team, there's a lot of builder incentives built into that as well. So new construction is kind of becoming a new thing right now because of low inventory. And then on the flip side of that is lived-in homes. These are going to be your older ones, maybe built in like 1940s, 1950s. These homes have a lot of variety of styles, floor plans, and things like that.
And they used real wood.
They used real wood. I know. They have a lot of character and charm. These are typically found in an established neighborhood, you know, with mature trees and things like that. I know if you go on like the south end of Grand Forks, that's the one thing that they're missing. There's no trees.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what kept me away from the south end of town the wind here, like I need to have trees.
Trees have birds and wildlife and things to look at.
Exactly. So bottom line here is that if you're looking for a starter home, be open-minded. There's other options too. If you have money available and you feel comfortable, maybe look into new construction home. If a starter home is just not in the books for you.
Troy says the deck is stacked against us, so anyone who can get ahead is going against the new normal. It takes a lot of fiscal responsibility to not buy things we don't need in order to own a home and a decent used vehicle, and that is something you realty experts talk about all the time. You know, don't go spending on these things. Katie says this episode was very informative. Hope to get my first home within the next few years. Can only rent for so long. So if somebody, maybe Caitlin is thinking, well, this summer we'll start looking for our starter home. It's never too early to get a hold of you, is it?
It's never too early. Start having those conversations. My number to get a hold of me is 320-267-6692. I'd love to start having those conversations with you and start building that checklist of things that we need to do to get you in the home before summertime.
All right. One more time. How do we get a hold of realty expert Caitlin Soley?
320-267-6692. And you can call or text me anytime.
All right. And we will hook up again on Friday morning.
Perfect. Sounds good.
There you go. Caitlin Soli, Realty Expert with Berkshire Hathaway. There you go. Your bi-weekly podcast, Wednesday edition, now in the books. We'll be back again 10 o'clock Friday morning.